Protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power. Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast dedicated to keeping you in touch with many of today's most important issues and examining how those issues directly affect our traditional values. And now, here is author and constitutional lawyer Phyllis Schlafly.
One of the most ridiculous types of lawsuits going on today is the litigation to get athletic teams to give up their American Indian names. In 1930, the University of North Dakota adopted the name the Fighting Sioux after the famous Indian tribe of that name. The Indians were proud of this honor, and the football players were energized. In 1968, a delegation from the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation traveled to the University of North Dakota to adopt the president of the university into the tribe and to formally give the University of North Dakota the right to use the name Sioux for its athletic teams. Then came political correctness. In 2005, the NCAA, that's the National Collegiate Athletic Association, banned schools from using nicknames and images it deems hostile and abusive. Now, there was nothing hostile or abusive about the Fighting Sioux, but the University of North Dakota nevertheless was put on the banned list. This meant that the university would have been forbidden to participate in Division II football playoffs or host playoff games or use the nickname or logo on its uniforms or in its activities. Fortunately, the University of North Dakota got a temporary injunction to allow the division playoffs to be played, but the case is still in the courts and we don't know how it will be decided. The University of North Dakota logo was designed by a well-known Indian artist and shows a proud Indian Sioux warrior. The logo was chosen to honor courage on the battlefield. A handful of Indians objected to the logo, but none of those was a Sioux Indian. North Dakota's Spirit Lake Sioux tribe approves the university use of the name. In a 2002 Sports Illustrated poll, 81% of Native Indian respondents said no when asked whether college and high school teams should stop using Indian nicknames. That should be the end of this dispute.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a program dedicated to preserving traditional values. And it's your opinions and comments that help to shape this broadcast, so write us at Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. Because your views count. Once again, that's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002. And join us each weekday as we explore today's most important issues on the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
From the heartland of America comes a harvest of insight and entertainment. This is the Common Sense Coalition, the Derry Brownfield Show, starring Derry Brownfield. And here's the star of the show, and the man who says, time's fun when you're having flies, Derry Brownfield!
Hello there, Derry Brownfield here, and I am happy that you're along on this adventure in broadcasting. It is the talk show with the country flavor and some common sense points of view. I have been seeing articles here just in the last 6 months or so talking about, the price of milk has just exploded, and it's because we're feeding all of our corn to the ethanol plants and not feeding it to dairy cattle. And if we don't do something different, we're going to see the price of food skyrocket because it costs so much to grow corn today, or to the competition for corn today is so great that, we can't afford to feed it to livestock and poultry anymore. Well, I have a gentleman with me today. His name is David Morris. He's with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. And I saw an article that he had written entitled, Give Ethanol a Chance, The Case for Corn-Based Fuel. And David, it's good to have you as a guest on the Common Sense Coalition.
And I thank you very much for having me, Derry.
You bet. You know, I see these articles, and I look at them, and maybe this is a problem that we in agriculture have. I look at these just like I did when the animal rights people first came along and said, well, that's so ridiculous, nobody's going to believe that garbage. But we've learned that there's nothing ridiculous anymore that people won't believe, is there?
Well, no, there isn't. As I said in the article, that the same month, I think this was in February of this year, the same month, the New York Times Magazine had an article by a man named Michael Pollan in which he was talking about how the farm bill policy toward corn had led to cheap corn and cheap high fructose corn sweetener, and the result was an epidemic of obesity. And then the same month, there was an article in Foreign Affairs, which is a widely read magazine, by two university professors that talked about how the farm bill policy and the ethanol policy had led to an increase in the price of corn, and there was going to be worldwide starvation as a result. So obesity and starvation being blamed on you guys all in the same month.
Right. And you know, I said this when the endangered species thing came along. I said, all you've got to do is just start eating the endangered species. Once you do that, and there's a market for them, I will assure you the farmers will flood the market. It won't be but 2 or 3 or 4 years, and you'll have more spotted owls than you can imagine. It works that way. And, you know, there's corn at $4 a bushel. You won't believe, yeah, you will believe it, because I'm not going to lie about it. But the last year that I put out a crop was in 1965. That was the last year I grew any row crops whatsoever. I converted everything to grass at that time and went just strictly into the grazing business. But at that time, you just couldn't make a living growing row crops. I don't care what the market was. Every year, if the price went up a little bit, the expenses went up a little bit. And today, you know, it costs $100+ an acre just to put out a crop of corn.
Yeah, well, you know, nobody seemed to be complaining out there when for 25 years, well, as you're indicating, maybe even 40 years, except for a couple of years after the Russian wheat deal and the drought in 1996, that the corn farmers and largely row crop farmers didn't get their cost of production back, and nobody seemed to be complaining a whole bunch about that. But
well, they do when they
as soon as you get the cost of production back and you're making a profit on your labor, you know, and an income, now suddenly everyone's starving out there.
Well, they complain about not getting the production cost back because the government subsidizes the difference between cost of production and the market value.
That's exactly right, and I mean, we established that policy, you know, many, you know, generation, almost two generations ago, and what that does, of course, is it allows, you know, cheap food, and it also allows cheap feedstock for certain companies. But it means that the farmers then are on the dole, if you will. And I know that farmers are not happy about that. One of the nice things about ethanol is that it's gotten farmers off the dole. And the other nice thing about it is that the farmers in many parts of the country own a share in these ethanol plants. And I think that that's a matter of what the farm bill should focus on, to say, look, you're going to get your money off your commodity, but we can hedge it by also having you as an investor in the value-added plant. So if the price of corn goes down, then all things being equal, the plant that processes the corn's profits will go up, and you'll get a dividend at the end of the year. And so that, it does seem to me, is what we should be doing. And since we're talking about a new farm bill this year, it does seem to me that that should be an integral part of it.
You know, if corn was really profitable to grow, and I don't know what it takes to... In Missouri, we're more or less in an area where, maybe. But let's get into Iowa, Illinois, where they can grow 200 bushels of corn for the acre almost on an annual basis. I don't know what the price of corn would have to be to make it really worth growing corn without any kind of a subsidy. But I will assure you, if corn got up to, let's say, $7 or $8, $9, $10 a bushel, where we knew we were going to go out there, make some money on it, every acre in this country would be in corn. It wouldn't be until the first crop year that, hey, corn would be back to $1 a bushel again.
Well, that's it. And then there's another side of the coin as well. You know, $4 a bushel, and farmers are doing quite well. But the problem is that at least in Minnesota, and I think it's not uncommon, that 50% of the acres that a farmer cultivates, he'll be renting. And that rental price depends on what the price of the crop is. And so if you suddenly get $4 a bushel corn, that means your rental payments just went up significantly.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's, I mean, that's why, you know, in agriculture, it's a very peculiar, if you will, industry in which the farmer controls nothing whatsoever, and is selling a raw material into a mostly concentrated market and buying all of his input.
And we're going to take a break. Stay tuned.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
And we have returned. We're visiting today with David Morris. He's with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, talking about ethanol and his article entitled Give Ethanol a Chance. David, I don't know. We keep talking about $4 corn. And, you know, the only time I can ever remember corn farmers, or all farmers for that matter, making any money, and I go back a little further than you do, perhaps, at least I think I do, right after World War II, I was just a junior in high school, sophomore, I guess, when World War II ended, 1945. And at that time, farmers came home, or the soldiers came home and started farming. And you could actually buy a farm and pay for it from 1945 till about 1949 and up to maybe 1950. Corn at that time was $2 a bushel through that entire period of time, and you could buy a new tractor for $2,000. And, you know, I thought at the time, you know, with inflation, if a tractor was $2,000 and corn was $2 a bushel, when corn got to $4 a bushel, corn tractor would be worth $4,000. Well, today it's not $4,000. It's not $40,000. A good tractor like our farmers use today that are our big farmers, they're going to cost you a couple hundred grand, and that's not without the equipment that goes along with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there's no question about that.
So I can't see $4 corn. You know, I don't know what it takes. Like I said, I haven't row cropped since way back there in the 60s. But I can't see as $4 corn. If I could put my if I could put my land in corn and they'd contract it to me for $4 a bushel, I'd have to do a lot of thinking before I'd want to do that.
Well, nobody's doing any thinking in Minnesota, at $4 a bushel or $3.75 a bushel, they're not thinking at all. They're switching over from soybeans to corn. They're growing corn instead of cotton, nearer you. In terms of farmers, so people are doing well now. Of course, you've got a lot of people out there. You've got some of them that own their own farms and they've paid off the mortgage, and then there's newcomers and so on. But it does appear. I understand what you're saying about the tractors and the like, but it does appear that at these prices, one is doing fine.
Well, see, fertilizer has just doubled in value in the last year or two.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. I mean, I've looked at the data, and of course, it's all over the board. I mean, there are farmers with, as you indicated, higher yields and lower yields, and higher input costs and land costs and so forth. But looking at the data, and $4 a bushel seems to work. I don't know. No farmer ever wants to say that he's making money. But on the other hand, here in Minnesota, I know a lot of people that are pushing to put a lot more acres, or have put into cultivation more acres with corn.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Our number, it's 1-800-973-3779. Your calls are welcome.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
We have returned, visiting today with David Morris, Institute for Local Self-Reliance. Let's give ethanol a chance. And you know, David, did you keep up with President Bush's visit to Brazil here some months, two or three months ago? Are you there? Hi. Jeff, I think I've lost David.
Hold on 1 second for David.
David, are you there?
One second, please.
Yeah, let's take a call. Let's go to Roger in Pennsylvania. Hi, Roger, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks, Derry. I hope David's still in the loop somehow. But
I don't know what happened.
No, I
I'm certainly not against the farmers finally getting a more than their production costs for the corn. However, ethanol is such an efficient fuel that it takes a mere $1 additional subsidy on top of the high prices for gasoline, which aren't historically all that high when adjusted for inflation. Now, they should be a lot lower, too, if we remove the other artifice and protection of the industry. There's no reason gasoline shouldn't be half the, or less the price it is today. But that having been said, I hope I'm not speaking a foreign language to suggest that we should get rid of all the farm subsidies and every other subsidy and let the prices seek their own level as the farmers are careful and endure the momentary pain to where we can have liberty and prices seeking their own level.
Okay, I think as far as the farm subsidy is concerned, the one that goes to the farmer, it's based on the price of the crop. So there should be no subsidy go to corn farmers as such. Now, there is also a subsidy that goes to the producer of ethanol. And I'm sure David can tell us more about that. Are you back, David?
I'm here. I wasn't quite clear about the dollar, additional.
Well, I think he's referring
on gasoline. There's not a dollar additional price on gasoline for ethanol. Ethanol has a 51-cent, per gallon, subsidy, and if all of that was rolled through, that's what that would be. But ethanol is a 10% blend, and so therefore you're really literally talking about a couple cents, 1 cent, a gallon. So in any case, I wasn't clear about that. But in terms of the farm bill, every government knows throughout history that there is a real problem with agriculture, and the real problem in agriculture, believe it or not, is that it is a free enterprise, free market system where there is no single, this is at the cultivation level, where there's no single dominating cultivator, and everybody competes with each other. Now, that's just wonderful, except that what that means is that they're all driving the prices down, they're all planting more acres if the price goes up, which drives the price down again, and they're all selling into an increasingly concentrated market. That is, they're selling to the supermarkets, or they're selling to the flour mills, or they're selling to the bread companies, and there are relatively few of them, so they have no leverage at all. And governments realize that there's a serious structural problem here, and they need to do something about it. Now, the question is what to do about it. In this country, we actually have two kinds of programs. One is the sugar program, and with the sugar program, we actually have what's called supply limits. It's a supply management program where we have a quota. We don't allow imports in, and we basically establish a price for sugar by limiting the supply, and then we don't need to pay the sugar farmers. When it comes to grain, we do it differently. We don't establish a price. We establish a target price, but not a marketplace, a retail price, a wholesale price, and then we pay the difference. And I'm suggesting that there can be a third way, at least that could be added to this, which would be that we enable and encourage farmers to actually own a share in the value added, that is, in the processing part of the economy. Now, one of the nice things about biofuels and where we're going in this right now is that we're talking about biofuels substituting for 20-25% of our transportation fuel supply, and that can translate into a couple thousand, right now we have about 140, biorefineries, I call them ethanol or biodiesel plants, if each of them are owned by 500 farmers, and that appears to be just about right, you're literally talking about the same number of farmers in some ways that are full-time grain farmers today, so everyone can really get a share in it. So I'm suggesting that since we're ramping up right now, since we see it as a part of our policy, we should also see it as a part of our agricultural strategy. But I do not agree with someone that says simply get rid of everything, because countries all over the world have tried such a thing for the last 150 years, and it doesn't work because you farmers compete against each other in a free enterprise, free market system, driving the prices down below your cost of production always.
And, you know, we used to say And it's changed somewhat now that we have lost our free markets for livestock. We don't, for finished products, we don't have a livestock market at all anymore. The hogs are under control, the poultry's under control, cattle. We have, what, four buyers now that buy 80, almost 90% of all the cattle. But we used to say, back in the good old days, if they were, cheap corn makes cheap hogs. And that was because when corn wouldn't make a profit, we bred every gilt that should have gone on to the kill floor. And the next, you know, in 6 months, we had so many hogs we didn't know what to do with them. Just because we had cheap corn. But I don't know, that's more or less changed, and Smithfield now runs the hog operation in this nation. Hey, stay tuned. We'll be back. You're listening to the Common Sense Coalition.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
First, take an old-fashioned county fair. Now add a wildly popular internet auction site and mix in Noah's Ark. Roll it all together and what do you get? Breederville.com. Breederville.com is for breeders. Pet breeders, livestock breeders, all animal breeders, buyers and sellers, domestic and exotics. It's like eBay on the farm, but better. Breederville.com is more than an online animal auction. It's an internet community that expands the local market for small to medium farm-related businesses. By expanding your local market, you remain local and independent. Breederville.com provides live auctions, web stores, online forums, livestock transportation quotes, plus breeding and showing libraries. Breederville.com business members can promote their business free of charge while earning money for their favorite nonprofit group just by promoting Breederville.com. For more information, visit DerryBrownfield.com and click on Breederville.com.
I'm proud to have the Paragon Foundation as a sponsor of the Derry Brownfield Show. But what is the Paragon Foundation and what do they do? Well, here's G.B. Oliver, Executive Director of the Paragon Foundation.
This is not a job to us. This is something that we believe in our very hearts and our very souls. And all of us have been involved in these scraps. My family lost everything they had, and there's no way to go back and get that. There's nothing that can ever be done to get my family or all those other families back their property, and I understand that. But the things that we learned right there, we can turn around and keep somebody that's listening today or somebody that will call today, keep them from losing their property. And that's where I think the value in this foundation is.
Join the Paragon Foundation by calling toll-free 877-847-3443. That's 1-877-847-3443. Or go online to paragonfoundation.org.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide, non-insurance medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies, regardless of your current health condition. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they may have been. You'll save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest health care networks in the country. To sign up or learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars on your health care every year, call Qualified Health. Call 1-800-414-1998. That's 800-414-1998. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind, so if you don't have insurance or you're underinsured, call Qualified Health now. Once again, that toll-free number to call, 800-414-1998, 800-414-1998.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show, and here's the star of the show, and the man who instinctively jumps up when the elevator reaches a stop, Derry Brownfield!
And we have returned, talking about this ethanol and biofuel situation. You know, David, back many, many years ago, I did a lot of banquet speaking, and I don't know how many years ago it was, but I was talking about Bohica, B-O-H-I-C-A, Bohica. And I did a little rundown on my particular experiences in agriculture and how many times we have been bohicked in this business. So it gives us a little different outlook as to how things can go against us in the field of agriculture, for whatever it's worth. Are you familiar with the word bohica?
I am not.
Okay, that stands for B-O-H-I-C-A. That stands for bend over, here it comes again. And we've watched it happen time and time and time again in this business. Now, I have some concerns about farmers borrowing. If you've got the money, go ahead and shoot the works, if you've got the money. But I would hate to borrow money personally now to put it into an ethanol plant, because here's what I'm afraid we'll get bohicked with. Bush spent, I don't know, quite a bit of time in Brazil just several months ago, and they talked about ethanol, and they talked about the tariffs on ethanol. Are you familiar with his trip to Brazil?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, they tell me that they can pay the tariff and bring sugarcane ethanol from Brazil into the United States for 50% of the cost of production here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how the administrations have been. Hey, it's strictly for the consumer, to heck with the farmers. And I'm afraid that they're going to just import a lot of our biofuels from South America. And it'll break the local ethanol producers.
Well, I can understand that, and certainly I appreciate the bohica analysis of it.
Yeah, you can use that.
It is. I will use it all the time now. Although I'm not a full time farmer, and so I mean, in that sense, I really don't have the experiential base for it. But I've been around a while, and I know that's the case. What I think is. I would invest in an ethanol plant right now, you know, either, but I think that you have a farm bill, you know, that could provide the financing. I'm not saying give it away, I'm not saying a grant, but, you know, provide the financing, for that type of investment. But you also have right now, I mean, the Senate, you know, passed a bill that could very well pass the House this year that will require, you know, a 36 billion with a B, billion gallons of ethanol, you know, to be consumed in this country within the next 15 years on an annual basis. Now, that's up from 5.5 billion, which is where it is right now, and it seems to me that if the government is going to mandate that, then it is in fact creating a market, and if it's creating a market, it should create the rules that encourage local and farmer ownership of that market. Let me just tell. Well, in terms of Brazil, you're right. Brazil could export to this market cheaper, but Brazil actually doesn't have a lot of ethanol to be exporting. The whole world is buying Brazilian ethanol right now, and so, you know, they might export 500 million, they might export 1 billion, you know, at most. But if we're talking about 36 billion. I don't think that we need to worry about that, but the government does need to make a commitment to the farmers. In Minnesota, we, and I was a little part of this, in the 1980s, had an incentive at the state level that was mirrored the federal incentive. Now, the federal incentive is, of course, a tax credit against the or an exemption against the federal gas tax. And it goes to the blenders. It doesn't go to the ethanol producers. Well, what was happening in Minnesota is that ethanol consumption was going up, but the farmers weren't supplying any of it. It was all coming from out of state, from ADM, and the farmers finally got together and said, heck, this is our money. This is a state incentive. So let's convert the incentive. We're not asking for any more money. Let's just convert it. So instead of it going to the pump, it goes to us as a direct payment, and let's put some conditions on it. So it only goes up to 15 million gallons a year, and it's only for 10 years, and therefore it would encourage, doesn't it demand, but it encourages local and farmer ownership. And I wrote about a year ago in the New York Times an op-ed piece that suggested that the federal payment incentive also be restructured in that way. So I think that there are things that we can do that could at least make bohicking, you know, less likely. But as every farmer knows who has to deal with the weather, one can't guarantee anything.
The No, you bohicked me there when I forgot what I was going to say, David. But we know, it's been maybe 10 years ago. I don't know. I was in, you may have been there. Do you remember when the Alternative Energy Association, and I don't remember the exact name of it, held a convention in Phoenix?
Yeah, they do.
No. Was it Phoenix? No, it was in. It was not in Phoenix. It was in Las Vegas.
Right.
And I was there, and we did live shows from Las Vegas at that particular convention.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at the time, one of the things we talked about was how the automotive industry, for example, said don't use ethanol in certain makes of automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
When chainsaw distributors or makers said don't use ethanol in a chainsaw, that you'll lock the engine up, it won't.
Well, your vegetable oils. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't remember. Like I said, it's been 10 years ago, probably. It's been a while. But have we overcome those sort of
Negative? I mean, one of the things that people don't realize in terms of ethanol, I mean, it got a handsome incentive in 1978, which made it competitive in the at the pump. But the problem was that it had to persuade its competitor, the oil companies, to sell it, which meant it had to persuade the competitors to displace a part of their own product in their own distribution line and retail lines, and then it had to persuade the car companies to use it in an engine that over 75, 80 years had been tailored to be optimized for gasoline. It took 10 years for the ethanol community and ethanol producers to do that kind of persuasion, and over those 10 years, virtually all the sales were made in rural areas through farmer-owned cooperative gas stations and the like, and most people just ignored the warranty and put it in their car anyway, and it was perfectly fine. It wasn't until 1988, 1990 that the car companies in their warranties said, it's fine, you can use them for our car. In fact, in 1990, General Motors recommended it for the car, and it wasn't until the late 1980s that major oil companies began selling ethanol. So it's always been an uphill struggle for the farmer to get a sort of a piece of action in the gas tanks. But whereas in the 1980s you would see literally signs on gas pumps saying no ethanol, no alcohol sold in order to make people think that their engines weren't going to blow up, you don't see them anymore. I mean, that everybody, I think it's 30% of all the vehicles in this country are using ethanol. And so it's really, it can be a problem for sort of classic cars, 1915 style, and so forth. But basically, it's not a problem for marine engines, boat engines, anything any longer. And now we're really talking about going from 10% to going to 30, 50, 75, even 85%.
Well, some of those old classic cars, like your Model T's and Model A's, they were made to run on pure alcohol.
That's exactly right. Henry Ford was ambivalent, as was your part of the country. On the one hand, he wanted to see farmers get a living by selling to his cars. On the other hand, he was a leader of the temperance movement and in support of the prohibition constitutional amendment that made it illegal to sell alcohol. So he very much believed in alcohol for the cars and not alcohol for human beings, and it was a confusing time.
I was not aware of his temperance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he and John Rockefeller actually were the heads of the movement to get
really?
A constitutional
really?
Amendment.
I was not aware of that, but there's a lot that I don't know.
I find that difficult to believe.
Hey, listen. If you don't think that I have made a lot of dumb mistakes, you ask my banker or my wife, and they will explain it to you. Anyway.
Well, I always believe that it's better to make errors of commission, which I think is what farmers do, than errors of omission, which is what urban sort of academics do, which is they think about doing something and never do it, whereas the farmers do it, and then they got to live with it.
And live with it. At a high percent of interest, too.
And there's that, yes.
Don't ever let anyone tell you experience is the best teacher. Experience is the worst possible teacher. Most expensive, for sure. Let's take another break. We'll be back. Stay tuned. We have some more callers here. We'll get to you shortly. Our number's 1-800-973-3779, and your calls are welcome.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
And we've returned. Let's go to the telephones. Richard in Missouri. Hi, Richard. You're on the air.
Howdy, Daddy Derry.
All right.
Hey, I'm here to tell you, this guy's failed to point out one thing about this alcohol.
What's that?
It's got half the power of gasoline. It takes 2 gallons equal to 1 gallon of gas. And
what?
Another thing that nobody's addressed, you know how they've come up with, you got to have this fuel mileage and stuff on cars and stuff. They've never said a word about jet airplanes. And they're burning diesel fuel with Napa in it, is what jet airplanes use. And I've yet to hear anything about them airplanes having to have 34 miles to the gallon or to the passenger or whatever. And, you know, of course, the privilege driving them airplanes. And the gas, but the alcohol, that E85, see, it's not all alcohol. It's 15% gasoline, because alcohol only has half the power of gasoline.
Okay, hey, appreciate the call. Let me ask David. David, are you?
Yeah, I'm here. That's not quite accurate, although he's in the ballpark, and it's not power, it's energy. That alcohol has about 75,000 BTUs of energy versus about 115,000 for gasoline. So it's about a third less, which would mean that if you have a 10% ethanol blend, in theory at least, in terms of physics, you should be getting 2 to 3% less gasoline mileage. But the thing about ethanol is that it also has very high octane. I mean, you know, when you pull up at the pump there, you're talking about anywhere from 89 to sort of 95 octane, but ethanol has 108 octane. And what that means is that you get better power from a car. Now, our cars are optimized for gasoline. They have been for, you know, 80, 90 years. But Saab, for example, has taken its turbo Saab, and it's optimized it for ethanol, taking advantage of the higher octane levels, and so it gets better horsepower, but also it narrows that gap. In other words, ethanol makes for a more efficient engine, so you still get a little bit of a loss, but you only get maybe a 10% loss rather than a 30% loss in terms of energy. So he's right, the caller, that alcohol contains less energy, but it's also more efficient and contains more and develops more horsepower and more power for the cars. You know, back in the 1920, cars got their compression levels increased, and they became basically modern cars in terms of their horsepower levels, and the engines began to knock, and they had to figure out how to do something about that, and then they had to figure out an additive that would get rid of that knock, and they had a choice. They could either use lead, or they could use ethanol. They knew that. The thing is that with lead, they only needed to use less than 1% of the gas tank, much less. Whereas for ethanol, they needed to use between 7 and 10%. And, of course, the oil companies didn't want to give away any percentage of the gas tank, and so they chose lead. And, of course, we learned that was not a wise choice from a public health perspective.
Okay, let's take the final break of the hour. We'll be right back.
This is the Derry Brownfield Show.
Since 1977, the American agriculture movement has been a major player in agricultural policymaking in Washington, D.C. And now, once again, AAM leads the march for the use of alternative energy sources to lower the use of fossil fuels. Farmers, energy experts, and multinational corporations are all pulling in different directions as gasoline prices continue to soar. Many argue that ethanol is the answer to the energy crisis, but that doesn't guarantee a profit to the American farmer. Imported ethanol from sugarcane is 50% cheaper to produce than from corn. The American agricultural movement supports the use of alternative energy sources such as biomass, U.S.-produced ethanol, biodiesel, wind and solar power, and other energy sources. AAM is a member of 25 by 25 that has the goal to produce 25% of U.S. energy by the year 2025 from alternative energy sources. To join the American agricultural movement, go to www.aaminc.org or call 605-993-6201.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom14.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom14.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom14.com. Freedom14.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
David, we're in the home stretch here. Very quickly, do you want to give a website or anything?
Yeah. Thank you. I've been having so much good fun listening to the show. I even forgot to to let people know how to continue their contact with us.
Yeah, how do you?
New Rules, one word, newrules.org, and that'll get you everything we know and can get you to me as well.
Newrules.org.
Right, and it's called New Rules because that's exactly what we think we need. We need new rules.
Okay, good enough. You know, we were talking about alcohol and the power that is in alcohol. Now, I don't know a thing about this, but I'm under the impression that a lot of these pullers that have the, you know, the pulling trucks and the pulling tractors, that they convert them to pure alcohol. Is that right?
Well, they can convert them to pure alcohol. You know, one thing about, I was talking about octane levels, and the man was talking about jet fuel, and you're not going to be using alcohol for jet fuel, but you can be using alcohol for airplane, for prop propeller fuel. And in Brazil right now, they are in fact using it for plane fuel. And for plane fuel, the fact that it's 108 octane is about what plane fuel is. And so it competes very, and you pay a handsome price for that. And so it actually competes flat out. And the reason that it's not used more is because we don't have a national distribution system into the rural areas that might have these takeoff landing strips and the like. And secondly, because we've been relatively slow in getting these the engines certified for that. But it's definitely very useful for prop planes.
Okay, let's take a couple more callers, if we can, very quickly. Calvin in Ohio. Hi, Calvin. You're on the air.
Well, I hear you talking about, you know, all these alternatives and the fuel and everything that you need. What's wrong with the modern steam engine that they developed? And that would do away with the pollution, and you don't have to have hardly anything to fire the steam engine with the modern technology.
I watched a thing the other day on old cars, and they had a Stanley steamer on there. And they said the only problem with the Stanley steamer, it would get like 80 or some miles per gallon of gasoline, but they used the gasoline to make the steam, to boil the water to make the steam, and it would only get 20 miles on a tank of water. So it was taking about a gallon of water to go a mile.
Well, my feeling about that is that we have a lot of possibilities out there, but I'm not living long enough for them. And what I'd like to know is, what are we going to do right now? And right now, we have only two alternatives for a transportation system. One is electric vehicles. If you've got a hybrid car, you can, with a relatively small amount of money, you can plug it into your house socket and recharge the batteries that way. And we don't use any oil, basically, for generating electricity. And the other is biofuels. And, for the next 20 to 30 years, that's what the alternatives are if we want to do something about that. And I think that certainly the steam engine, the Stanley steamer, there's a lot of sort of interesting, so there was gasification that the Germans used in World War II based on wood. But I think we gotta figure out what we're going to do in this generation, and this generation has to use the existing infrastructure.
And, on the electric cars, they might work for someone that lives in one of these so-called United Nations sustainable communities where you don't go very far.
No, but I don't think that's... I just came back from California where I was in electric vehicles at Toyota cells that go 120 miles per charge. But if you're talking about a hybrid car, and you can have hybrid cars that are any size. I mean, you don't have to be talking about small cars. Then you're traveling on electricity, and you'd want to travel on electricity because it costs a penny a mile to travel on electricity versus 10 cents a mile when you're traveling on gasoline. But then if you exhaust the battery, especially if you're in rural areas, you're going long distances, then the engine kicks in, and the engine itself would be fueled by biofuels. So, I mean, it's a nice combination of energy sources.
Well, for those of us that make long trips, you'd be on the gas all the time anyway. But anyhow, we're out of time. The hour has completely gotten away from us. Dave, it's been a pleasure, and happy trails.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails.
About the clouds and we're together.
Just sing a song.
Rain.